transform.
This is 702.
This is 702.
For the curious.
23 minutes to 2 o'clock. You know, when China announced that it would no longer recycle the world's old plastic bottles, things like cardboard boxes and certain paper as well, even including newspapers, it actually triggered a global trash crisis, what some are calling a crisis, because it also began the search for new refuse dumps, which for some countries, it's actually still ongoing. In 2001, China was one of the biggest buyers of American recycling. And then in 2017, after a disturbing image came to the public's consciousness and a lot of criticism came from the population about China's decision to accept America's recycling, they announced at the World Trade Organization in Geneva that they would be reducing the import of global plastic and paper waste. Because until then, China had been taking up to 56% of the world's plastic garbage to recycle, along with a significant portion of its paper refuse. And 60% was from the US and more than 70% from Europe. And it justified its decision at the time to stop the importation on environmental grounds and said it also wanted to protect the health of its citizens. So that decision brought the global recycling system sort of to a slow halt, and it ushered in a new era in waste management. So where does the world's waste go? Especially the waste that countries don't want to take care of themselves. They move it to other countries. Professor Linda Godfrey joins us now. She's the principal scientist at the CSIR. And my concern really has to do with this continent and what this picture looks like. Where is the next frontier as far as waste is concerned? And what would make a nation successful at importing this waste? And what does the picture look like in South Africa? Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us, Prof.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on the show to talk about a really, really important topic, I think, for Africa.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, we often talk about recycling and the fact that there are some parts of any product that are easy to recycle, where you live as well, and the abilities for, say, recyclers in that area to process that material also plays a part. And then there's also another category altogether that is problematic. So there are complications when it comes to how we get rid of our waste. Just give us a snapshot of what these complications may be.
Well, I think ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, oddly enough, is that waste material is typically more expensive to collect and to reprocess than virgin material.
Mm.
Sounds bizarre, but this is the way that it works in terms of the economics. And so what we've done in South Africa is that over the last 10 to 15 years, we've had a lot of investment by producers, by material organizations, to actually create a viable, stimulating local recycling economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's allowed us to increase our recycling rates, for example, for paper and packaging, for plastic, etc., well kind of above the 50%. What happens, though, is that we obviously utilize this very large informal sector that we have, and it created livelihoods for our informal reclaimers and our informal pickers. And so as a result, we actually export very little of our recyclable waste. We've created a local market for this material, which is fantastic, because by doing that, we retain the jobs in South Africa, we retain the raw materials in South Africa. But not all countries do this. As you started off at the beginning, you know, the USA, Europe, particularly countries with very high labor costs, they tend to export this recyclable waste elsewhere for reprocessing. And up until now, it has been China. As you said, China has closed the door. And so these countries are now looking for other markets to be able to essentially dump their material.
Mm.
We see this with electronic waste as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our electronic waste recycling rates are still quite low in South Africa. There's still a lot more that we need to do in that space. But e-waste is a big global trade of that internationally. And unfortunately, particularly our West African countries like Ghana, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, they have become a bit of a dumping ground for particularly electronic waste and for hazardous waste. And we've really got to look at curbing this so that it really just doesn't get out of scale.
Yeah. So, and what are the risks to countries that allow for the importation of waste?
Well, the importation of waste on its own is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the research that we've done to inform policy, at least for South Africa, suggests that it makes sense to have a regional secondary resources economy.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of Southern Africa, perhaps for the SADC region, or West Africa, North Africa, East Africa. The reason being is because many countries actually don't generate enough waste to warrant investment in the technology there
right.
to beneficiate the waste.
Yes.
So what we've said is, you know, for many of these waste streams, we have the technology, we have the businesses processing it. So how do we provide that almost as a service to our neighboring countries?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a way of attracting these resources that we need, like fiber from paper or metals from scrap metal, et cetera, that we could utilize in our economy.
Right.
The question becomes, when does importation become a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I think we're starting to grapple with now, because up until now, we've been focusing on our own waste streams, and we've been doing really great in it, obviously a lot more that we can do. But now that the focus is turning to other countries as a dumping ground, we're having to ask ourselves this question, is when is import beneficial for our neighboring countries, and when is it actually now a problem for us?
Right. Which is why, so you're saying the necessary kind of investment would make this beneficial for not just a country, but its neighbors as well, the regional picture that you've just painted. But it would require the necessary investment. You mentioned e-waste earlier on. Pieces of equipment, for instance, there's some parts that are more profitable to recycle and others that are components, for instance, to a gadget that might not be recycled and might then become a waste problem for that particular country. So should it be something that countries strategize around quite deliberately and consciously? Because so far, yes, China was able to take care of a lot of the waste from Western countries, and every nation needs to have a strategy into the future, no doubt about that. But should it be something that we try and do in a viable sort of way?
Absolutely. You know, I think that we live on a planet with finite resources, and as we start to run out of certain virgin materials, waste will become the new secondary resources in the future.
Mm.
And I've always said, you know, as a country, we need to think strategically about what happens when we do run out of minerals in the ground. Are we positioning our economy to attract those waste streams that we may need to achieve, for example, the NDP? What materials do we need to stimulate our local manufacturing economy? So if you think about electronic waste, for example, we collect end-of-life computers, cell phones, etc. We typically take out the printed circuit board, if that's where the metals are. We shred those and we put them in a shipping container and
right.
we export them overseas for
yeah.
processing. Why? Because those countries are after those metals. They have the downstream manufacturing economy that relies on those particular metals. So countries do need to be strategic in this, in terms of what do they want to process, and maybe they want to attract certain products into their economy.
All right. Don't forget, we are taking questions, your comments as well. 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMSs. Looking at the potential problem of waste dumping, especially in countries that are perhaps not as strict as they could be when it comes to what they allow into their territory. How have we fared, Linda? I know you're not representing government this afternoon, but it is certainly an aspect of South African life that you monitor. How have we fared in ensuring that these transgressions do not happen? I remember there was a case of a Ukrainian tanker that dumped sewage on the South African coast. They were fined 3 million rand. But clearly there are syndicates. This is a crime to ship a material that is not properly declared or permissible to a country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we as a country, we have a lot of checks and balances already in place, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is planning to import waste streams, they need to go through ITAC to get approval to do that. And ITAC is in place to give effect to many of the conventions that South Africa has signed up to, for example, the Basel Convention on the Transboundary Movement of Hazardous Waste.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also checks and balances with many of our material organizations to say, does it make sense for us to bring this particular waste stream in? So at least, you know, the questions are being asked. Do we want to bring it in? Can we bring it in? Do we have the technology in place to beneficiate this locally?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I always say, you know, if someone's going to break the law, they're never going to declare that.
Mm.
And so there may be, you know, I don't know, there may be people trying to sneak things in illegally. We know that there is a global trade in secondary resources and in waste. We see this, you know, it's well documented. You know, there are countries that are trying to deal with this. But thankfully we do. You know, thankfully we have regulations in place when it comes to waste, like the Waste Act, the environmental legislation that we have in place. So I believe those checks and balances help us out greatly in dealing with the illegal importation of waste. You know, I always say that waste always flows from a country with strict policy and regulation and enforcement to a country with weak. And in Africa, that is a risk. We know that many countries in Africa don't have waste legislation.
Hmm.
They don't necessarily have capacity at their ports to inspect every container that comes in. And so there is a risk. We know that waste is leaking into Africa. Obviously, the question then becomes, once it's in Africa, you know, it's then not essentially, you know, European or USA, and that could be a risk because it then could move more freely between boundaries once it actually is on the continent.
Mm. No, it's in all our interest, in fact. And so that is the risk on the continent, but the more and more countries have decided to clamp down on this, to follow China's lead in disallowing the importation of waste onto their shores. What are the prospects? How do we move forward? Because the waste is being generated by countries like the United States, parts of Europe, Australia and Canada. They've been impacted in terms of what to do with waste. So what should we do moving into the future in managing this secondary resource?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we saw is when China closed the doors to waste, it immediately spilled over into other countries in the southern and Southeast Asia region, Philippines, Malaysia. And we just recently, in the last week or two, seen these countries push back and say, you know what, we're not actually taking your waste anymore, and actually returning that waste back to the developed countries. I think of South Africa, this is something we're going to have to monitor very, very closely.
Yeah.
You know, we do have the checks and balances in place. And I think through engaging with our recycling community, because, you know, if we have spare capacity to process the stuff, then it's a different argument. You know, we could be taking that material. But if we literally are just intended as the dumping ground and it's coming in and going directly to our landfills, that doesn't make sense at all.
Absolutely. So we have to prioritize our waste first and then only, of course, take the world's capacity if indeed we go that route. We do take waste at the moment, right? I think we recycle waste from Brazil.
I'm not sure about Brazil, but certainly from the SADC region we do. And as I said, you know, that's almost as a service to our neighboring countries that don't have the end-use technologies in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to monitor this to make sure that our neighboring countries also don't become a funnel for potential waste coming into South Africa, you know, sourced from other regions in the world.
Mm. Do you believe there's enough cooperation with agencies from that are crucial for this around the world?
I think certainly in the Southern African region, I believe that there is sufficient cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing, though, that there are porous boundaries. Certainly, you know, Europe has extended producer responsibility. In other words, it requires the producer to take legal responsibility for their waste at end of life. But yet we still see this waste, which is coming from the EPRC, ending up in West Africa. So there are porous boundaries. And unless you can literally inspect every container coming in on a ship, which very often we know is just unrealistic in terms of technology and time and people on the ground,
This
risk does exist.
No, yeah. So we can't. We're not in a position to open up every single container that comes to our shores.
No, I mean, if you just think about the number that actually must come through Durban or Richards Bay, Cape Town, PE in a day.
Mm-hmm.
No, unfortunately, we don't. And I think there, South Africa certainly is better off than many of our other countries in the region.
Yes.
But, you know, things will leak through. And that's why it's so important to monitor this, to make sure we have people on the ground and we have those checks and balances in place.
Mm-hmm. So I want to also look at the place for consumers, because it's a big conversation. And when things are happening at such a micro level, we often feel very powerless to bring about any change or have an impact on the problem. And then secondly as well, the role or the responsibility of producers. So let's start with that one, because for whenever we talk about recycling, I often think that manufacturers don't make it very easy for us, and retailers as well, because of the amounts of packaging that we are given, for instance, in just one single item. So much of it is unnecessary. So there should be a responsibility of sorts, or some a greater responsibility that manufacturers and producers take on.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, this is where a policy instrument like extended producer responsibility comes into play to say, you know, why do municipalities have to deal with the burden of these waste streams at end of life when somebody else put this product onto the market? So once it's consumed what's inside the packaging, now suddenly it becomes a municipality's burden to deal with it. And so extended producer responsibility was developed as a policy instrument to correct this. And it's worked very successfully in Europe in terms of collecting and getting these waste streams into the secondary resources economy. Obviously, they chose not to develop local processing there, but to look at export markets. Whereas what we've done, I mean, we've had voluntary extended producer responsibility in South Africa for many products. You know, if you think about your PET bottles, your cool drink bottles, we've had that in place for nearly 15 years. And because of that, we've now achieved, I think the latest figures, is a 63% recycling rate. So by having that policy instrument in place, by producers committing to deal with those products at end of life and putting money behind it, we've been able to achieve a 63% recycling rate. And obviously going forward, even increasing that even more and more. But for many products, we don't have that. And this is the frustration that sometimes I have, particularly around electrical and electronic equipment, where they'll have this, for example, in another part of the world, a brand owner will have it in somewhere else, but they won't have it in South Africa. And I always go, well, why do you treat us differently as South Africa when you have this producer responsibility somewhere else? But thankfully, the Department of Environmental Affairs has called for extended producer responsibility now in paper and packaging, in e-waste, and in lighting. And we're just waiting for that to be approved by government. And hopefully, that will be the kickstart that we need to really increase a lot of the recycling activity about products that are not currently being recycled.
Is there a place for you and I?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we consume, we buy, and ultimately we have to take responsibility for the waste that we produce, whether that means, you know, changing our buying behavior to perhaps consume with less packaging, whether it means taking responsibility to take that material somewhere where I know that it's going to be recycled. And unfortunately, you know, most South Africans don't. I think the last research that was published by the CSIR showed that only 7% around there of households regularly recycled. So a lot of people in South Africa just don't care. And I think you see this if you drive around our cities and towns and if you look at the amount of litter that's lying around, the amount of illegal dumping. Very often people just don't care about the waste that they produce, and that has to change. People have to take responsibility for the waste that they're producing.
Yeah, so that's the kind of impact we could start to make, as in the sheer tonnage, the sheer volume of waste that gets generated, could do something about that. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Linda.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. The principal scientist at the CSIR, Professor Linda Godfrey, on the line to us as we look at the problem of waste export or importation, depending on where you are, and dumping, potential dumping that could be going on in certain countries if they do not have strict policies. Because as the professor said, that the flow of waste will go from countries with strict policies and strict policy enforcement to countries with weak policies and weak policy enforcement. So that suggests developing countries and what would be deemed a third world countries, if their policies are not tight enough, we could find many on the continent. We're already seeing certain problems with places like Ghana being the recipients of this unwanted waste. So this is something that is still ongoing, sort of a question that needs to be answered in light of the 2017 decision and pronouncement made by Beijing.